following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest in classic rock news and comment. It's the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update with your host, Jeremy Lunnon.
Hey, good morning. Spirits are high here at the Classic Guitar Rock Northern Command Center. Why? Because, well, it's the day before the weekend. And also next week is spring break here. Of course, I'll be working all week, but the kids are excited because it's spring break. So if it's spring break in your neck of the woods, happy spring break. Maybe next week is your spring break. Happy spring break. Hope it's a great one for you. We got some great items to get to, but first, let me talk about our sponsor. We talked about these guys yesterday, StubForge, StubForge.com. You want to check them out. StubForge.com was made for folks who collect ticket stubs, but who have been frustrated or bummed out that they don't really print out concert ticket stubs anymore. You get a little email, right? With a little code that you scan. So the days of the collectible concert stubs are kind of over. Not anymore. No, that's where StubForge.com comes in. They make tickets that look and feel just like the real thing. They're printed on the same quality stock that Ticketmaster uses, printed with actual ticket printers. They've got a cool website, interactive. You can go to their website, stubforge.com, see what they'll look like. So if you're giving the gift of tickets, this is awesome. So let's say you buy concert tickets for someone. Well, you can actually have StubForge print out real actual tickets that you can give to folks. And here's, I think this is the coolest part. Imagine you're having a wedding, a party, some event where you're inviting folks, a corporate event. You can print out your own concert tickets. They look really cool. People are going to love these, something they'll hold on to and remember that forever. It's really awesome. Go check them out, StubForge.com. And thank you to StubForge for being our sponsor. Now, let's move on to the news. From the butt-related news item file, the world-famous Black Sabbath bench is back in Birmingham. Did you know? I mean, how world-famous was it if you'd never heard of it? I didn't know about it. Did you know about it? Yes, apparently there's a Black Sabbath bench. And it's this long bench, and then there's a little seat backs that are the portraits of each of the four original band members. So you can sit back and lean against Geezer Butler, right? Or Ozzy or Bill or Tony. It's kind of cool. Well, a couple months ago, they had to take it down because it's been there for like 5 years. And of course, it's got gum stuck on the bottom. People have been laying on it, sleeping on it, kissing it, whatever, getting their pictures taken. Well, it was too much. They had to clean it. So they took it out. It's been refurbished. They're all four of the lads are up there, shiny and new. So if you're in Birmingham, you got to check out the Black Sabbath bench. It's been installed by the West Side Business Improvement District on the renamed Black Sabbath Bridge. There's a Black Sabbath Bridge in Birmingham. I got to go just to see the Black Sabbath bench and the Sabbath bridge. I got to set me bum on the Black Sabbath bench. Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. It's really cool. Iron Maiden frontman Bruce Dickinson, the Mandrake Project. I think we mentioned that a week or two ago. It came out a few weeks ago. It's solid. It's a great album. It really is. I've listened to it a couple times. I like it a little more every time. And you know, it's Iron Maiden, right? It's sound, but it's a little different. So if you like Iron Maiden, you'll like the Mandrake Project. Sometimes, you know, when guys go off and do solo projects, it's such a departure. Ian Gillan, for instance, Ian Gillan has done some albums. Most of us know Ian Gillan from Deep Purple, and he's done some solo stuff. I'm not saying they're not good. They're just real departures from what we're used to him doing, right? Well, this particular album from Bruce, I mean, it's a slight departure, but still in the same neighborhood as Iron Maiden. So if you're an Iron Maiden fan, you'll like the new album. Where am I going with this, by the way? Well, as part of the Mandrake Project, this is something, this has been a labor of love that Bruce has been working on for like a decade, okay? The album's just part of it. There's also a comic book. Yeah, he's working on a comic book. And I say comic book, not graphic novel. Graphic novel is like a big, fat, thick comic book. A comic book to me implies that there will be regular, you know, regular issues, right? Unlike a graphic novel, wham, there's the graphic novel, that's it. This sounds like a comic book. So Bruce grew up as a comic book fan. I like the comic books. I read lots of comic books as a kid. I've ranted about this before. Comic book industry has completely changed. Okay, kids don't buy comic books. Really, the only people that buy comic books anymore are old fat nerds. I won't name any names. Because back in my day, you bought comic books at Kmart or at the gas station or at a newsstand. Any place, any store had a stand with comic books in it. And kids bought comic books. Now the only place you do is you go to the local comic book store that's full of comic books, and all the Dungeons and Dragon nerds are there, and they're all, no one in there's under 40 years old. I'm not saying it's bad; it's just different. So, where was I going with this? No, Bruce, comic book fan, grew up reading comics. His favorite British and French comics were, I'm not familiar with these, The Beano, The Eagle, and Metal Hurlant. That's a comic book. His favorite U.S. comics were Doctor Strange. I'm a fan of the Doctor Strange. Silver Surfer. Oh, yeah. And Human Torch. What's not to like? I am an aficionado of what they call the Bronze Era. Bronze is like late 60s through the 70s. Why? Because, well, that's when I was reading comics. From about the time I was like 8 to 12, I was buying comics all the time. That's kind of my go-to space, is the Bronze Age. So Bruce is working on a comic book. He says, quote, by the time I went to Z2, Z2 is a company that worked with Maiden on a Peace of Mind comic. I didn't know there was one. I got to go check that out. I said, look, I've got this crazy idea. You're probably going to throw me out because you've got too much on your plate, but how do you fancy doing a Watchmen style comic? The Watchmen, a very popular comic series that came out. Was that in the 90s when that came out? I was kind of out of comic books by around 1980, though I've gone back to collect over the last few years, but I have this big gap in what happened in comic books from, you know, the 90s through the 2000s. Now I'm with my son going back and collecting the stuff I liked, but I don't know a whole lot about what I've missed over the last 40 years, right? He says, and I think they thought it was just going to be like one page. When I gave them 20 or 30 pages of synopses and script and character sketches and backstory and world, they were like, this is really cool. That's when they put me in touch with Tony Lee. I was doing the story for Revelations. And Tony and I did the script together. I realized then that a comic script is not like any other kind of script I've ever written. This is a whole different world, a whole different regime, even the dialogue. Now I could do dialogue that would maybe work in a screenplay, and sometimes it would work in a comic, but other times it wouldn't work in a comic. I would never have written something like that. I would have done something more wordy. It's getting the feel of where dialogue's going and getting the feel of where the frame sets up or frame sits on the page. So, he's getting very nerdy into the comics, which is great. That's, I love comics. Okay. It's great. But that is available, will soon be available, the comic book version of the Mandrake Project. And also related to that, let's see, on Sunday, this Sunday, Bruce will make his first appearance at a U.S. Comic-Con on, Sunday, March, or Saturday, sorry, Saturday, March 30th. So on Saturday, March 30th at WonderCon in Anaheim, California, Bruce will be there in a panel discussion talking about his debut comic book series. So there you go. From the, does anyone really want this file? We have this story. Ricky Rocket, drummer of Poison, is putting the finishing touches on a book which will largely focus on his time with Poison. He posted yesterday on social media. He's 62 years old, by the way. He says, quote, "I haven't really made an announcement or press release yet, but I've been working on a book and it's nearing completion. This book is, of course, about my life, but much of it about Poison through my eyes. What would you all like to really know?" People might line up to buy this. I just had never thought of, you know, there being a clamor for a book from Ricky Rocket, but I could be wrong. Poison was kind of the surprise bright spot in that big stadium tour that happened last year. Remember, it was Motley Crue, it was Def Leppard, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, and Poison. Motley Crue was, but from everything I've read, Poison knocked it out of the park. Did a really great job. I've seen clips of CC DeVille. He's been taking guitar lessons or something, because that dude, he sounded really good. And I don't remember him really being that stellar a guitar player back in the day, but I was impressed. Anyways, good luck to Ricky and the other Poison people. And that's wild. Okay. The BBC has announced plans to commemorate the 30th anniversary of the death of Nirvana's Kurt Cobain with a range of programming, quote, that celebrates and remembers his life and musical legacy. Now, I don't want this to be a me going a rabbit hole about grunge. You kind of know how I feel about grunge. I don't hate grunge, but I was not a big grunge fan. I do realize the importance of Kurt Cobain as a figure in history, right? I get that. I'm in Washington State. You know, he was in Washington. So especially in this part of the country, Kurt Cobain is huge. But one of the things that's kind of the centerpiece of this programming that they will be doing is what they, a 60-minute style documentary that, quote, is a visceral account of the days that surrounded that tragic moment in 1994 when Kurt Cobain took his own life. And I don't know if you're aware of all this. You know, I've seen, you can go on YouTube and there's a lot of conspiracy theories about his death and shady stuff going on. I don't want to dig into all that other than to say this will be an interesting watch, right? Because for years, there have been things circulating, implicating certain people, Courtney Love. I mean, and I don't know if there's all kinds of crazy conspiracy stuff out there about Kurt Cobain. So, this will be interesting. Here's from their part of their press release. Not going to read the whole thing. Now, one of musical history's most shocking stories will be told as never before, as footage captured by local fans in Seattle and raw material from news crews reporting at the time are woven together, immersing the viewers in the events that unfolded as they happened, end quote. So I think that will be interesting to watch. Now, guys, did you know, I think I've mentioned this, there's another Spinal Tap movie coming. Okay, there's going to be a sequel to the awesome 1984 mockumentary, Spinal Tap. You've probably all seen it a jillion times. Well, they're making another one, and they've let out of the bag a few things about it. One of the things that they've let out of the bag is that two drummers, Metallica's Lars Ulrich and Red Hot Chili Peppers drummer Chad Smith will both make appearances. Now, if you remember, one of the running storylines in the original Spinal Tap is they went through tons of drummers, right? One died in a tragic gardening accident. One died by spontaneous human combustion. So just one of the things that plagued the legendary Spinal Tap was a revolving door of drummers. So I'm just thinking in my mind, will Lars and Chad both just be revolving door members? Will they be members of the band? Will they be auditioning for the band? It will be interesting to see how that plays out. I'm very much looking forward to that. Looks like some other folks will be making cameos. Elton John, Paul McCartney, Questlove, Garth Brooks, and Trisha Yearwood. So they'll be on there too. But hopefully it will be fun. Here's what I'm afraid of, right? Here's what I'm afraid of. Is it great? The original was great, okay? Hopefully the guys won't go in and mess it up by making it either A, political, or B, you know, just trying to revise it and make it politically correct. And, you know, because that movie was absolutely not politically correct. Spinal Tap was not a politically correct band. And to be honest, that's what made it funny. Don't mess that up. Okay. Stick with the original formula, guys. All right. Two emails I want to get to here. These are great emails. By the way, you can email me, classicguitarrock@mail.com. First one says, hey guys, just found your podcast and wanted to say thanks. I love it. I went back and listened to one of your early episodes about Riot. I loved it. I was a huge fan and was always mystified they didn't get huge. Fire Down Under is an awesome album. Keep up the good work. Big Dan Johnston, Boca Raton, Florida. Big Dan, thank you so much. And if you haven't gone back and listen, I think the name of the it's like episode 4 or 5. It's an early one. I mean, that's how high Riot is on my list, is I wanted to make that one of the earlier episodes. I think the episode is called The Greatest Band You've Never Heard Of. I think that's the name of it. Check it out. Riot is awesome. Fire Down Under, probably in my top 5 favorite albums. And I bought it. I was Columbia Record Club. I think I bought it as a clearance thing for like $1.99. Just because I'd heard of Riot. It had this stupid cover with a little baby seal on the front. Stupid. We talk about that in the poor choices that were made along the way in terms of marketing and that sort of thing. But the fact of the matter is Riot was an awesome band. And I agree with you, Big Dan. They should have been huge. I mean, classic rock should be playing 2 or 3 songs off Fire Down Under alone in their regular rotation because it's awesome. Guy Speranza was the singer at the time. They just had a bad luck along the way, right? Their founder, Mark Reale, he died just a few years ago. Riot kind of got kind of a fresh start with a brand new direction in like 1986 when they really went speed metal. So they went from kind of a classic metal sound to like this speed metal. And to a lot of folks, that's what Riot is. Riot is one of the pioneers of speed metal. But I remember them as the classic metal, hard rock from the late 70s up through the mid 80s before they took this turn as a speed metal band. So I would highly recommend any of you. You can go on Spotify. You can stream all the Riot stuff. But Narita, let's see. I'm trying to think. I can't remember all the. But Fire Down Under's the signature album you got to listen to. Restless Breed, by Restless Breed, and then Born in America. They had brought in a new singer. Again, here's the tragedy, right? Guy Speranza at the height. They were opening for May. They had opened several times for Sammy Hagar. They had opened on some major tours, opening for major bands in 81, 82. And then Guy Speranza quit the band. They bring in this new guy, Rhett Forrester, who's a great singer too. I prefer Guy. Rhett was pretty good. He did a few albums. Rhett is killed in a drive-by or a carjacking like in the early 90s. He had already left the band by then. He had some problems. I mentioned Mark Reale had died. It just, they could never get a break. And they had unfortunate album covers with the stupid baby seal. So lots of mistakes were made along the way in terms of business decisions, not the band's fault, right? But just the people they surrounded themselves with, some questionable production things happened on some of the later out, just kind of weird, a sad story. But the fact of the matter is they have three or four excellent, excellent albums. You definitely should take the time to go back and listen to at least the early Riot stuff. If you like the speed metal stuff, I guess the post, you know, late 80s, early 90s stuff is good too, if you're into speed metal. So you can check that. And they're still, they call themselves Riot 5 now, Riot 4, Riot 5. And you can go out and see clips of them play. The concerts are interesting because it's about 70% speed metal. But then they go back and play the classic Speranza era stuff. And they sound great on that too. I tend to dig that more than the speed metal. But you can find them playing at Wacken or various, you know, big festivals. There's videos. You should check them out. But particularly Fire Down Under, tremendous album. Dan, thank you so much for the email. One more. Hi, Jeremy. Do you have plans to do any more episodes of the Classic Guitar Rock Time Machine? Or is there somewhere I can hear more of them? I've listened to the few that are posted on YouTube and I enjoy them. Alan, thanks for the question. This is a case of Jeremy taking on too much, right? So I was in radio for about 10 years, 12 years back in, I started in like 85 and I did that till like 95. So late 80s, early 90s did radio, finally got out of that, but I've always loved radio. And so what I did here about 2 years ago, I started producing these hour-long radio shows, right? And there's, I don't want to do the whole, well, I will. I'll kind of give you the backstory. You cannot play music, right? Unless you are licensed to play music. So if I produce them and put them on YouTube, they'd get flagged and taken down. There are some up there that haven't get flagged. You can't monetize them. So sometimes they'll let you put them up. You can't monetize them, but sometimes you can't even post them. It kind of depends on the music that you've chosen or whatever. So what I did is I produced, and I probably produced about a dozen of these. What the Classic Guitar Rock Time Machine was, is it's a fully produced hour long, like a syndicated radio show, right? I'd pick a year. Each year we'd do a year and we'd only play music from that year, right? And then what I did is I was on at one time about 10 different internet radio stations. Because see, the internet stations pay those licenses so they can play the music. I just can't play them, right? If I had the licenses or my own radio station, I could do, and had the licensing, I could do that. So I was sending these out. They were on a number of radio stations, and every week I had to produce a new one. Well, guys, I just got so busy. I couldn't keep up. I couldn't keep up. And so unfortunately I had to tell these stations, guys, I can't do this anymore. So like I've still got like the 12 episodes. They're just sitting, you know. If I had a radio station, an online radio station, and to be honest, this is something I've kind of been looking into. Mean Machine, my friend Greg, who has the Mean Machine radio, he chimes in. He's on Twitter. We've talked about it. We've got some things going on in the background. We may have a radio station at some point, and at that point, we can roll out those episodes that are in the can and then continue to produce more episodes. So that's a long-winded answer. I'll occasionally on X just post an episode, and maybe I'll post a few more out there if people are interested. But it's an actual 60-minute radio show with music and everything, where we just pick a year and we play music only from that year. It's kind of fun. Kind of fun to produce. I just got so busy I couldn't do it. But I'm glad at least one person has enjoyed it. Marlon is checking in. Hi, Marlon. Thank you for being here, my friend. You can do that anytime we're on live, Facebook, YouTube, X. You guys can chime in live just like Marlon's doing. And you can always email me anytime, classicguitarrock@mail.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsor, StubForge. Check them out at StubForge.com. And guys, we will do this again tomorrow with another episode of the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update. Live long and prosper. Take care and bye-bye.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Thanks for listening. You can email Jeremy at classicguitarrock@mail.com.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Tune in each weekday for the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update.